in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Of that Shore Monday on B&E. It's also your spring, which has sprung. Winter over. Spring is here. Spring equinox overnight into this morning. Been a lot to do. Longhorns are off to the Sweet 16. First time in 15 years. It's hard to believe. It's been that long since the Longhorns have made it out of the first weekend of the tournament. But that is the fact. And Rodney Terry was an assistant on the staff the last time they did it in 2007-2008. And now he's taking them back as the coach in charge, and a lot of folks who believe he should just be go ahead and made the coach moving forward. And why not? It's going to be hard to make a decision otherwise based on what they've done this year, winning the Big 12 tournament, following it up with a really strong performance over the weekend in Des Moines. Very cold Des Moines, by the way. Doesn't sound like Des Moines was a place to be this weekend. It was cold.
Snow, wind.
It was cold here for this time of the year, and it was really cold in Des Moines, Iowa, and I'm sure we'll hear some stories from Craig and Jeff coming up on Light the Tower. Blizzard conditions, temperatures brutal in Des Moines, but the Longhorns handled their business. Two wins, and now they're on to the Sweet 16. Also talking NFL and the Cowboys, USA and baseball, and a lot to do, and it was a fun weekend. I hope everybody had a good one. Not a good start, not a good game for Austin FC, Buck, on Friday night, or Saturday night. They lost 2-0 in Houston.
Are they 2-4 right now? In their season, they've got four games. They've lost two games now. They're struggling right now early in the season. But there's a lot of game in the, lots of games in the MLS. So they get a lot they got to catch up to right now, too. They've got to start playing a little bit better defense. And they will.
Well, and the defense back end's rough. And, you know, Houston had been off for 2 weeks, whereas Austin had been playing a bunch of games. And, of course, that
they're not thought of as one of the better teams either.
No, that was their first points of the year. But they've been kind of idle for a couple weeks, and they took advantage of that on Saturday night. So that was one of the negatives as far as a good, bad, and ugly weekend. Austin FC going down. But rest of it, pretty darn good. Let's get to the headlines, trending topics, update to start your Monday morning. UBO Business Services brings it to you. And, yeah, we'll start with those Longhorns. Texas men are on to the Sweet 16. Women can get there tonight. We'll start with the men. On a cold shooting night on Saturday night in Des Moines, it was cold outside, and they were cold from the floor and from the three-point land. Longhorns leaned on their defense and their big man Dylan Dessou to survive their second-round matchup with 10th-seeded Penn State and advance to the Sweet 16 for the first time in 15 years on a night that saw Texas make just one of 13 three-point shots. It was the former Hendrickson Hawk who stepped up in a big way, delivered his best game of his Texas career, poured in 28 points on 14 of 20 from the floor. It was huge down the stretch for the Longhorns. They get the win 71-66. Also, Horns come up big on defense, held Penn State, one of the top three-point shooting teams in the country, to 8 for 28 on the night, 12 points below their season scoring average as well. Horns are Sweet 16 bound for the first time since 07-08, as we mentioned. Head coach Rodney Terry, an assistant on that team. 15 years later, he's excited to be taking the Horns to the second weekend as the man in charge.
It's a really good Penn State team, man. I'm telling you, this group here, I mean, I couldn't sleep one night because these guys could really shoot the basketball, and they were the best passing team I've seen all year. And Pickett, he's a pro. He's a good player. We did a great job on him by committee. And, man, I'm so proud of these guys right now. We're back in the Sweet 16, Craig.
He's excited to be there. Texas will head back to Kansas City. That's where they won the Big 12 championship just a week ago on that floor. Cut down the nets. They're going to play third-seeded Xavier on Friday night. 8:45 has been the announced start time. Xavier was a winner yesterday over Pittsburgh to advance to that matchup as well. And it's the fourth and final game of the Sweet 16. Midwest region. Houston will face the fifth seed Miami in the other regional semifinal. In the early game, Miami took down Indiana last night. Winners will meet for the in the Elite Eight on Sunday. Kansas State is the only other Big 12 team to advance to the second weekend, as the third seeded Wildcats won a good one yesterday. Beat Kentucky, top seeded Kansas, Baylor, a three seed, TCU, and Iowa State. Also, West Virginia have all been eliminated out of the Big 12 conference. Texas Longhorn women And their basketball team overwhelmed 13-seed East Carolina on Saturday night at Moody Center, 79-40. And 4th-seeded Horns will now host 5th-seeded Louisville tonight at 6 o'clock at the Mood, also looking to advance to the Sweet 16. That game tips at 6 tonight. You can hear it on 105.3 The Bat. Texas baseball team finished off a 3-game sweep of New Orleans and extended their winning streak to 10 with a 9-3 win yesterday at the Dish. They improved to 14-7 on the year. The 10 straight wins have all come during this 14-game homestand on which they've outscored opponents 92-30. They're finding their way a little bit. Home cooking extends into tomorrow night when they host Incarnate Word. They open Big 12 play this weekend hosting Texas Tech. Busy weekend in the NFL. We mentioned the Texans are sending their wide receiver Brandon Cooks to the Dallas Cowboys in exchange for a 2023 fifth-round draft pick. Also a 2024 sixth-round selection. Houston's going to pay $6 million of Cook's salary this year. Cowboys will pay the remaining 12. Texans also announced that they have made their left tackle, Laremy Tunsil, the highest-paid left tackle in the league, getting a new deal done with him, also freeing up some cap space with that move. Detroit Lions have agreed to terms with safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Carolina inked wide receiver Adam Thielen. And in golf, tough finish for Jordan Spieth yesterday at the Valspar Championship in Tampa. The former Longhorn tied for the lead with 3 holes to play. But when the water on 16 made bogey, then missed a 5-foot birdie on the par 3 17th that would have gotten him back even, young Taylor Moore took the win there. Spieth and the other top 64 players in the world will now make their way to Austin for the Dell Technologies match play, which will tee off on Wednesday with group play in NASCAR. Joey Logano took the checkered flag at the race in Atlanta. NASCAR also headed to Central Texas. They'll be at Circuit of the Americas this weekend.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
You know, they did such a good job on Pickett on Saturday. And really, Ronnie Terry and the way they defended that young guy was really, really special, too, because not only Timmy Allen defended him, but they contested his shots. They didn't – I mean, because he got down there low. I mean, he got – where he wanted to get, but they contested his shots. So they didn't just let him go over the top and, you know, dump the ball off from 2 feet. Those guys got up, and Marcus Carr did a much better job than I thought he would on him. I thought he would get handled down there low, but, boy, he played like a veteran when he got, you know, when he got taken into the paint. And he contested the shots, too. He was up in the air. He didn't just let the guy go over the top.
Yeah, Pickett is a second-team All-American. He was the Big Ten's Player of the Year. First-team All-Big Ten. Zach Edey was the Big Ten's Player of the Year from Purdue. But Pickett was right there. He's a kid who transferred in from Siena. And, well, I thought, you know, credit to the Longhorns staying disciplined with that, too, because if you watch the game with A&M, Buzz Williams' team kept coming off of their guys and leaving three-point shooters open when Pickett would post up their guards.
Try to double him up.
Yeah, they would come for the double team, and then they didn't rotate very well. And I thought Rodney Terry and the Texas staff decided, you know what, let's just play single team and let's play tough defense on him. We'll put bigger bodies like Timmy Allen on him, and we'll do a committee-type approach on him. You just heard Rodney Terry say
– Yeah, Marcus did a good job because he's not as big as that dude.
No. Well, Marcus a little shorter, but, you know, but stocky. And can buddy up and what were they calling it on TV? Booty ball with Jalen Pickett because he backs you down as a point guard, and then, you know, he can score, but then he typically will dish it out and assist. Texas held Jalen Pickett to 5 of 13, 11 points, and only one assist. Only one assist. I think that's the biggest number there, that Texas didn't come off their defensive assignment to give help, and they trusted that their guys could individually match up with him, and I thought that was really one of the keys to the game. Anytime Texas holds their opponents under 72 or more or fewer, they've won every game this year. Every game. That'll obviously be a number to watch when they get to the Xavier Musketeers on Friday and then potentially the Houston Cougars on Sunday. That defense has to travel, and it's been really, really good for them. And this is what you like about Texas. If the defense is going to be this locked in as it has been, you know, through the Big 12 tournament, that you go back to that Saturday game with Kansas at the Moody Center when they beat Kansas for the first of back-to-back Saturdays, that defense is really – Something came out of that TCU loss when they lost on the road at TCU and got out. They got hammered on the boards and
48-26, something like that. Yeah,
yeah, they just kind of got manhandled by TCU, and I think there was kind of an embarrassing moment to that. And I think some hard coaching went on. And since that point, Texas is allowing under 60 points a game to their opponents. And when you can play defense like that, I think Rodney Terry's message is finally getting through here that hey, our offense is going to find a way to score. We're efficient offensively. We're one of the top offenses in the country. Because we have three really good guards, and now we've got this big guy in Dylan Dessou who we can go to in the post when we need it, when teams try to lock up our guards, and we make our free throws. We don't turn the ball over much. So if we can play the defense, we're going to get our points on offense, and that's what we've seen with this team. You know, even on a night where they don't shoot well, and you know, they found a way to get it done with defense and Dylan Dessou. Pretty impressive.
It really, really was. I mean, I was totally impressed with the way they played D and Dessou. He's become an offensive threat. And this didn't just start, you know, I mean, it started way back before the Big 12 tournament. He has started to go to the offensive end a little bit stronger. That is the weirdest shot, man. Sometimes he looks so clanky.
Sometimes it's a push shot. I mean, he's unorthodox with his moves, but at the same time.
Oh, the fadeaway jumper was nice now. That little baseline fadeaway,
like it.
When they really needed it, was a nice shot.
Well, they owned the paint. Both teams kind of had similar game plans defensively. You don't let the guards get off. Make sure you can test every three, you know, and Texas took advantage of that, and Dylan made him pay over and over again.
And Sabari, I mean, Rice just looked like he was thinking about his game too much. And not letting it fly when he had an opportunity. He had some open looks, and just kind of, do I or don't I yeah, kind of thing.
Yeah, there were some times he would go shot fake when the shot was there.
Right off the bat, yeah.
Yeah, but he wasn't feeling it, obviously. I mean, I know on Thursday night he was feeling it as he made about everything he put up there with 7 3-pointers made in that game and 23 points. But in this game, you know, early, here's another thing I like about Rodney Terry and what they did. And even the veteran players, you got to give them some credit too. They realized they didn't have the shooting touch, and they didn't try to force it. They were 0-for-8 in the first half from three. They didn't hit a single one, and they only took 5 of them in the second half. And Jabari Rice hit the only one they made the whole night. So outside of Jabari, they only took 4, and they just said, you know what? Let's stop shooting them. Let's just go to Dylan Dessou until they can stop them. And as we said, that really was the key to the game. The Longhorns were up 7 points. With about the 8-minute mark, and Penn State went on a 10-0 run and really swiped the momentum from Texas, and we're up 3 points with 4:48 to go. And that's where we say Texas, that's where they didn't miss a shot the rest of the way after Rodney Terry called a timeout, calmed everybody down. They kept going to Dylan Dessou in the post, and Penn State had no answer for it. They didn't panic. And they also got stops on the other end, forced a couple of turnovers, and Penn State missed some shots, and Texas ends up you know, taking control of that basketball game. It was just a well-coached game. It was a game where you just felt like, okay, 5 minutes to play, anybody's ball game. Let's go win this thing. And Texas was the superior side, and that's credit to the veteran players on this team and the coaching.
Yeah, they did a fantastic job.
Because if you watched Marquette yesterday in the same situation,
wow,
with Shaka Smart and the number 2 seed and the in their bracket.
And some really good players.
Man, because remember, Michigan State jumped out to a double-digit lead early. Marquette battled all the way back and actually took the lead, kind of like Penn State, and took the lead. And then in the last 5 minutes with tournament Tom Izzo, it was all Tom Izzo and Michigan State. They dominated from the Final Five. And it's kind of what Texas did to Penn State. I don't want to say dominated, but Texas just went to their strengths, made enough stops, made their free throws, and they're advancing. That's how you move on this time of year in college basketball.
Yeah, no second shots offensively for Penn State. They didn't. I mean, Texas went to the boards, and I mean everybody. Offensively, you know, Cunningham Brock came in the game, and he was not a threat offensively at all on Saturday, but he still went to the boards, which they had to do.
Yeah, boards were pretty even. Penn State ended up with 9 offensive boards. Jalen Pickett had 4 of those, and a lot of those were on his own misses.
Oh, on his own little bunnies, yes.
And he'd get them back. But they had 9 offensive boards, but it was 37-33 for Texas.
They didn't let those big 3-point shots that came bouncing back out.
Yeah, offensive rebounds were nearly identical for both sides. It was really about Dessou and a couple of missed shots and good stops by Texas down the stretch. Let's dive into our coach's corner just past 7:15 on a busy Monday morning. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations.
Audiovisual Consultations and Tom McKay, the really smart guys who never make you feel stupid.
All right, someone says, can Rodney Terry recruit? Well, I mean, gosh.
Yeah. Look at the guys that are on the team. He's recruited a bunch of them.
I mean, if you go back, history would tell you he was the primary recruiter on Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant came to Texas. You know, recruiting players is different when you're coaching Fresno State and UTEP than it is at Texas, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you're going to recruit the level of player you can recruit at a school like that. Rodney Terry has shown an ability to recruit as an assistant coach for Rick Barnes. He was one of the best recruiters they had, and Kevin Durant would be a good example of that. And then, you know, we've said all along, however far they go in this tournament, and if that's the litmus test for Chris Del Conte, another big criteria is keeping this recruiting class together. And it's only
two players.
It's only 2 players. It's Ron Holland, big kid, big 6'7" kid, tremendous
player. Player of the year here.
Yeah, player of the year in the state out of Duncanville. And then there's a kid out of point guard, A.J. Johnson, slick 6'5 point guard out of Los Angeles, California.
And I trust that he knows about the portal. He's been involved in that.
Sure. And they'll have to attack that again. But can he recruit? Look, he seems like a guy the players love to play for. He seems like a dynamic coach who's, you know, got a great new arena. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, I said this when the Chris Beard thing first went down. You know, Rodney Terry could have been hired by Texas back then when he was at UTEP, but, you know, he wasn't considered because he was at UTEP and Chris Beard was the number one candidate. But sometimes a coach just needs an opportunity, Buck. You know, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, he's been here twice. I mean, if you don't know him personally by now.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing that Chris Del Conte has to do about knowing what kind of person he is.
Well, and here's what I'd say on that. I'm assuming, this is just my assumption, that Chris Del Conte, when they made the decision early January to cut ties with Chris Beard, that there were there was a coach or two in mind that at that moment Chris Del Conte had in mind that he would like to approach and talk to.
For sure.
Every AD has it, right? You got a list of coaches.
I don't think that's changed if those guys are available.
Right. But it's to the point now that do you even need to call them? And I'm sure there's been conversations had behind the scenes with guys that you want to touch base with.
Dude, you never stop talking to those guys.
But at the same time, the coach that you handed the job to get you through this year has way surpassed anybody's expectations and has made it a situation where not keeping him would become a controversial decision. Now, you don't have to keep him, but at the same time, if you don't, someone's going to hire him. Someone's going to give him a really good job.
You know, I can't imagine him coming here as an assistant coach.
No.
I think that thing is past.
Yeah, I have argued that, you know, if things had flamed out and the season didn't go great, then maybe he would stay on to coach with the new coach. But at the same time, Rodney Terry has shown every piece of evidence you would want that he can handle this job. He's you know, a heck of a basketball coach. And, you know, the question with can he recruit, you know, there's been no wavering from this recruiting class. Both are still committed. They were at the Kansas game, the last regular season game of the year, sitting front row. So, you know, I think because that's the thing about Rodney Terry. When he was an assistant for Rick Barnes, he was known as a recruiter. That was kind of one of his top roles. He was also a great defensive coach. And he's now, you know, I don't think you can underestimate. We talk about the experience of this basketball team for the players. You know, Rodney Terry's experience as a head coach in two different spots. Remember, he didn't get fired from UTEP. He left to take the assistant coaching job here for Chris Beard because he wanted to be a part of what they were building. Well, now he's gotten the opportunity by circumstances that weren't any of his doing, and all he's done is do a great job.
Yeah, I mean, the kids and his entire staff have done such a great job. And I mean, this is a tough year for him. I mean, he lost his father in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, losing your dad. And then going along with what just happened here, I mean, that's just a great job for what he's done. He's now in the Sweet 16. I don't know what else you can do except for go ahead and win the national championship. Go get it. And I think that's, to me, whether you give him the job or not, I think they have a mission that this basketball team is on right now. You know, that's they're playing for themselves. They're not playing. I don't think this group feels like they're playing for their coach any longer. I think they feel like they're playing for themselves in the university and trying to win a national championship.
It's very clear that they enjoy being around each other.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Chemistry. Which is the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, the chemistry's been there all year long. And, again, who knows what if the Chris Beard thing never happens. How far are they? You'll never know that. So it's a pointless conversation. But Rodney Terry has taken the opportunity and not blinked. Not wavered, and that's why I say I think Chris Del Conte probably had some names in mind, and maybe he's already talked to him. At the end of the day, this run isn't over. I mean, they can beat Xavier. Xavier is a pretty good team.
Mm-hmm.
Texas has every opportunity to win that game and play into the Elite Eight, and who knows? I mean, it's the matchup with Houston that we all kind of looked at when the bracket was revealed that there could be a matchup in Kansas City with the Houston Cougars. Winner will move on to Houston in the Final Four.
That would be awesome.
I mean, if you watch the tournament this weekend. I don't know that there's a favorite still. I mean, really. I mean, Alabama looks good. Houston looks good. But, man, Texas, their ability to win inside and outside, you know, on a cold shooting night, to be able to pound it inside and win. They can win from outside. Their ceiling is certainly high. So this run is not done. I'm of the opinion that Rodney Terry has made it, you know, you don't really need to look much beyond this. I would also say that in the last 15 years in both sports, football and basketball, The idea of the splash hire has not gone great.
No.
You know, going outside the program and bringing in an unknown quantity, but he's a big name, you know, on the men's side especially, that it hasn't worked out that often. But you know, Chris Del Conte, that's his job. He's the director of athletics. He's going to make his decision. But I think it's hard to argue that Rodney Terry has made a decision that the right coach might be right here, might be doing it right here, right now. And that's going to be a debate moving forward. But I'm assuming when you hear from Rodney, it's going to be all about getting ready for this game
and
this team.
He doesn't want to be talking about that.
No, it'll come as it needs to. But I thought he's made an incredible case. And an incredible case for what he's done with this basketball.
Yeah, I think like Ty says, I think the way the players interact with each other is really, really important. I mean, you can see it on the court. I mean, you can see it after the games. You can see it before the games. And actually during the games, the way they interact with each other. I mean, that looks like an older group that understands what the big prize is right now.
Well, as I said, you want to make a 10-year decision for your program, and there's no guarantee that Rodney Terry would be a great coach for 10 more years, but at the same time, there's no guarantee with anybody.
No.
Anybody you bring in, there's got to be a fit. And the one thing you know is that Rodney Terry's already a fit. You know, the athletic department loves him. Players love him. You know, if he keeps his recruiting class together, they're going to be built around next year with Tyrese Hunter and Arturial Morris and Dylan Mitchell, who's the freshman. Brock Cunningham will be back. And then, as you said, you attack the portal. But first things first, this team still has a lot of basketball in front of it. You know, starting Friday night at 8:45 in Kansas City. We'll see. I don't know how much, you know, there's got to be some good mojo going back into that building. That just
I would think so.
Nine
I'd
days
feel pretty
ago,
good. You got a banner out of that place.
Yeah, you walked out of there with a trophy and cut yep. down the nets, and you're walking right back into that building. There's got to be a little bit of swag to that and a little bit of comfort zone to it. That, hey, we're back here. We're feeling pretty good about that. Let's
yeah,
get
that would be
done.
A lot of Big 12 pride going back there now.
Kansas City is where they are headed. We will continue these conversations. Take your thoughts on it. It's a big decision, but it seems like Rodney Terry may be making it for the athletic department right now with the way he is coaching this basketball team. In the last 5 minutes of the game the other night, if there was ever an indication, the timeout he called when things felt like they were unraveling calmed everything down, and they dominated the last 4:48 of that ball game. Dylan DeSue was tremendous. Hard to argue with that right there. That's what this tournament's all about. We'll come back and pick up those conversations. We'll have some hot or not topics before the end of the hour, including Ty hitting the money line bet on Fairleigh Dickinson. That was fairly profitable, I'm assuming, for you. We'll get to the update on that. Also, did you hear what Charles Barkley said? We got to play, because Charles Barkley's front and center with Kenny Smith on these tournament games. I got to play this for you before hot or not. Also, we'll get back to some of the other top stories. It's a good, bad, and ugly Monday here on B&E.
Bucky and Aaron.
In addition to being the first day of spring, Buck, it is also something known as International Day of Happiness. Day of Happiness, this March the 20th. International Day of Happiness.
That's right. Don't let anybody take your sunshine, even though it may be shining in somebody else's eye. Don't let them dim your sunshine.
Do not.
Do not.
Do not. This says great. Says good show, fellas. Appreciate it. That's a great point. Going back to KC, should be a great mojo for our guys. Significant psychological advantage. Well, yeah, just a court, but at the same time, you've had some great moments in that court just recently and dominated your way to a Big 12 tournament championship. Guy like Dylan DeSue, just won tournament most outstanding player there. Followed that up with strong games in both of the matchups in Des Moines, including that. That's an all-time performance, Buck. At the University of Texas or a school like that, when you step up in a moment like that, and I mean, that's all-time stuff. I mean, that's having a great pitching performance in a big baseball regional game or the College World Series or big football performance. And obviously on the basketball floor, Dylan DeSue, 28 points. And just big shot after big shot down the stretch when Penn State was trying to steal that ball game.
Yeah, I know people miss football, but this is I love spring.
Me too.
I just do. I love the basketball time of the year. I just like spring and sprung and flowers. I'm looking at all the blue bonnets all over yesterday. I mean, it is a beautiful time around this place.
It is cool. I would say on International Happiness Day, Buck,
absolutely.
I'm happy. It looks like my mom's going
to
finally go home from the hospital
today. That is good
today,
to hear. That is great
she's
news.
Been there for too long, but a rough weekend, but she's going back. And how about this? You know, it's kind of cool. She can be discharged today, finally.
Discharged, yes.
Down in Houston. I'm excited for that. She'll get back to listening to us every morning on the Horn app if she's not listening this morning there in her room. But the So I told you, I was getting to St. Edward's where I went to school in the early 90s. When I was wrapping up, Rodney Terry had just wrapped up a great playing career at St. Ed's. And you remember back when early on in our show when we talked to the coach who introduced us to LeBron James?
Yes.
20-plus years ago?
Yep.
That's a guy named T. Kirk Griffith, who's a good friend of mine. He and his younger brother was one of my best friends. And so TK, he went back to Akron, Ohio, where I grew up and he grew up, and he has been the head coach at a place called Hoban High School. And last night in Dayton, Hoban won the state championship. He's been the coach there at Hoban for 30 years.
It's his first state championship?
First state championship.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool. And he and Rodney are good buddies. I mean, they're friends. I mean, Rodney was on the basketball team, and TK was a big basketball guy. And now he's coaching high school 30 years. He was the one that we had on to say, hey, keep an eye on this LeBron James fella. Yeah, who are you talking about?
Now
he's
talking about?
Come on, TK. He's like 16 years
good?
Old.
Come
what
on.
Are we talking about? He ain't that good. But, you know, pretty cool. Pretty cool to see that. And the state championship last night, they beat a team out of Toledo last night to win the Ohio State championship. And Rodney has put himself in a position where the players love him, the fans are supporting Rodney Terry, and seems like a no-brainer at this point for Chris Del Conte. But, you know, Chris has been pretty clear on that. They'll wait to the end of the year and assess it. And at this point, I don't know.
You either are going to hire him, you've got a list, and somebody wants this job also. But why put any more pressure on him now? Just let them play. Just let them finish out what they want to do. I mean, if you're going to give him the job, give it to him after they got the championship, the Big 12 championship, and a banner. Then you say, "Here's your new head coach." But now, just play.
Yeah. Just well, look. I mean,
you're either going to get it or you're not.
And I feel like that's. Although during the course of the regular season they didn't always play like it, I feel like that's been this team's mindset all the way through. That, you know, even the thing that you knew when December 12th came, and December 12th was the day the Chris Beard situation, you know, became a situation, and we know it, you know, what happened on January the 5th, and then now that's over. But that team had already beaten Gonzaga handily and Creighton at the Moody Center. And both of those teams, by the way, are still playing. They're both in the Sweet
And plus, their goals have not changed. They've always had the same goals, right?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, even when that happened, I think it was pretty easy for Rodney Terry and his staff. That game they lost the Tuesday before, the Illinois game at Madison Square Garden in that early December, that was their first loss. And that was a loss, the game they kind of gave away. It was kind of an ugly finish, game they probably should have won. But Illinois turned out to be a tournament team. They were an eighth seed out of the Big Ten. So when it all went down, there was a, I don't want to say it was easy sell. It was a, hey, guys, we're a really good team. We can't control that. We can control what we do. I think Rodney and the staff, you know, bought it. You know, the players bought in to this staff and understood that, you know, there's, you know, 40-some years of head coaching experience on that staff with he and Chris Ogden and Bob Donawald and everything they have on that staff. And it's a credit to Chris Beard. He had built an incredibly experienced staff. And that staff and he had built an incredibly experienced roster that is shown to be very talented. So, you know, why change your goals? I mean, we can't control that situation. We'll let Chris Del Conte and the administration handle that. Jay Hartzell, the school president, we can just control basketball. And they've done an incredible job of that, compartmentalizing it. And I'm sure there were some times, I mean, that game that they played the night that it all went down, where they had to survive, who was it? Somebody on a Monday night, it was bad performance. They still won the game. And, you know, they entered conference play as a one-loss team, if memory serves. And, yeah, they had some losses in the Big 12 and had some tough nights. But for the most part, they finished second in the regular season.
How many games did they lose at home? One?
One all year.
All year here.
That was that K-State game here when Kansas State scored 116 points. And, by the way, Kansas State is still playing. They're in the round of 16. They beat Kentucky yesterday, and they're no joke. With Marquise Noel and Keontae Johnson and what they do at Manhattan, Jerome Tang.
They lost one home game.
One home game all year long. And the question when they entered the Big 12 tournament was, could they take it on the road or to a neutral site? Because that's where they had suffered. Obviously, they have 8 losses. 7 of them came away from home. Do the math. And there were some performances where you're like, eh. You know, the Texas Tech game on a Monday night kind of stands out. Liz, yeah.
Play a lot of games, man. It's hard to be really, really good every night. Every time you play a basketball game. A lot goes into it, but I'm known down the stretch. We've seen what this team is like down the stretch. They still don't look all that great at times, but, man, their defense makes up for it. That some of the things that they do well really make up for some of the other things that given night.
Well, that's why I keep pointing out the fact that the 8 games they've lost, it's the defense. That's why in the 8 games they've lost, they've allowed 73 points or more. In every other game that they've allowed 72 or fewer, they've won. They're undefeated. So when they bring that defense, their offense is good enough. It's not always the prettiest, but their offense is good enough if they play D. If they don't play D, you know, the 116-point game to K-State, I think, turned out to be an outlier. But at the same time, they've had some games where the defense just got loose, and they didn't stay in front of people. In the Texas Tech game, TCU, where they got out-rebounded, there have been some games like that. Same time, you know, they keep playing that brand of defense. It does feel like a team that's bought into that idea that, okay, this time of year, we can get ready for another two-game tournament here Friday and Sunday, and we can lock in on this opponent. We got all week to prepare, because that's the other thing you know from this staff. They're going to have them incredibly prepared, and this veteran team takes the coaching. They take the game plan, and they execute it.
Well, now they got another score. That also adds to what they do.
Yes. Well, that's we said that Friday going in. They're actually coming out of the Big 12 tournament with D'Souza's emergence, because I think going into when you're filling out your bracket, you're thinking, man, only if they only had an interior presence that you could rely on.
Yeah, and you
got
to worry about
points.
Timmy Allen, because now you start to face some guys with long 6'8 guys, 6'7 players.
That was the fear, right? You're playing March Madness. There's going to be teams that can match up with you. They're going to do a good job against what you do, your strengths. And man, if they had a big down low, because Timmy Allen was coming off an ankle injury at the Big 12 tournament. And as you said, he's not a big. I mean, he's a tweener. Mm-hmm. He's 6'6", 6'5 guy who against length can struggle because he's not the greatest, most athletic player. But at the same time, Dylan D'Souza emergence, holy cow. I mean, it just changes Texas. They become a team that when Xavier sits down to watch the film, they're going to have a hard time. They're going to be, okay, what are we doing here, guys? And we got this monster down low who's playing tremendous, playing like LaMarcus Aldridge back in the day. Now we got these three guards. We got...
You have to match up, and these teams don't know this group that's played in the toughest conference, you know?
Yeah.
They just don't know because, you know, you look, and Brock Cunningham has struggled a little bit with some of that length too. But you don't know when he breaks out and has one of those games. So they all have guys that can have breakout games, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
At one end or the other, the offensive end or the defensive end. So
yeah, well, when you've got – and now Dylan D'Souza has shown that.
Right.
That he can be, 28-point guy, at 24 in Waco in the game against Baylor. Okay, well, he can be that interior scoring
presence.
And
what were we looking at him as, a 12-point to 14-point guy, as a high night for him, I was thinking.
And then you know you have three different guards in Marcus Card, Serge Barry Rice, and Tyrese Hunter that can light it up. Any one of those guys could go for 20 on a given night, maybe 30 when they need to. But I will say this, it's Rodney Terry now matching wits with Sean Miller. Sean Miller is the head coach of Xavier. Remember, he was at Xavier, then he went to Arizona, and now he's back at Xavier. And he was on that staff when they beat Texas in the Sweet 16 in 04. Sean Miller was also the head coach at Arizona when the Wildcats beat Texas in the 2011 second round. And he's now the coach at Xavier, so Longhorns will run into Sean Miller again. He's a really good coach. He's had some off-court recruiting issues, if you remember. But at the same time, he is a really, really good X's and O's coach. And he's got, you know, Xavier's a 3 seed. Here's what you know about Texas. They beat a 15 seed and a 10 seed. This will be the best team that they've played, without a doubt, coming up on Friday. And they only get tougher from there.
They have a lot of alike players.
Yeah. So we'll get to know this Xavier team as we go. Keep in mind, it's an 8:45 tip on Friday night. It's the last game of the Sweet 16 round, Thursday and Friday, the very final game. Houston and Miami, the U, will play in the early game in Kansas City.
That was a good Penn State team, but they couldn't get out of their own way. They didn't make any adjustments to what they weren't doing well in the three. You know, they were going to let Dude dribble and dribble and dribble and dribble and hope that they could throw it back out, and that got stopped, and then he was forced to have to make shots late in the clock. I mean, he threw some up late in the clock because they let him dribble so long, and I thought, man, they need to get out of that. If they want to be in the game, they've got to get out of that deal.
Well, and I would just say that's their identity, though. That's what they do.
Well, that's good coaching. You have to make some changes during the course of the game, and I don't think they did that.
Well, that's where I'll give Texas a lot of credit for being disciplined, because most teams don't have a guy like Timmy Allen that can body up a guy like Jalen Pickett, and Texas didn't come doubling. He waits for that double team, and he waits for that mismatch where he is the stronger, more physical player, and against mostly Timmy Allen, a lot of the time he didn't have that, and then Texas didn't come off their shooters for most part. So, yeah, it was a lot of dribbling by him. But that's how he earned, you know, second-team All-American honors and, you know, first-team All-Big Ten, and has been a great player for them. So Texas, I thought, did a real good job. I mean, you're right. I'm sure that the coaching staff at Penn State would think, man, we probably should have tried something different. But give Texas credit for neutralizing what they do very much do best. How many times we talked about that with a guy like Bill Belichick? Take away their right hand, make them beat you with your left. Texas did a really good job of neutralizing their right hand and their strength in that basketball
game. Once again, Marcus Carr did a good job defending them, too.
And let's also be fair to Penn State. The kid Funk, who made everything against A&M, missed some open shots. He did. I mean, he missed some shots that guy probably makes most of the time. He did against the Aggies, and there were some big ones that he missed. And that's how basketball is. I mean,
I'm glad to get the ball out of the hands of that dude, number 11, for them. I was worried about that.
Dredd?
Yes.
Yeah, well, he was the one that was making shots when they took that 10-0 run and got them the lead with 4:48 to go. We'll come back. When we do, we're going to hit some hot or not topics, including something I need you and Ty's thought on, something Charles Barkley said on the televisions over the weekend. It took Kenny Smith aback and Clark Kellogg, and I got to ask you this question coming back on B&E.
What's hot? And what's not?
What's Hot, What's Not is brought to you by Texas Orthopedics, the largest independent orthopedic practice in Central Texas. Visit us at txortho.com to learn more and to schedule an appointment.
Hot and not on a good, bad, and ugly Monday. Glad you're with us. It was not hot over the weekend. It was cold. Just around a Dish Falk Field watching the Longhorns stay hot. They've won 10 in a row now in baseball. We'll certainly turn our attention to the Horns. They open up conference play this weekend. That'll be a hot series with the Texas Tech, no doubt. Weather's going to turn as well on this first day of spring. Temperatures will get back to normal here in the 80s coming up, which will be good, Buck, because Dell Match Play tees off on Wednesday with the pool play.
Perfect
for three
time.
Days. NASCAR's coming this weekend. And, yeah, Texas and Texas Tech in college baseball this weekend at the Dish. And, of course, the Longhorn men on their way to the Sweet 16 in Kansas City. The women can get themselves there.
Big game tonight.
Tonight, yeah, playing Louisville at the Mood. 6 o'clock is your tip time. They win that, they'll be into the Sweet 16. But it'll be a very physical game tonight with Louisville. You know that. Also on the other hot side, we mentioned off the top of the show that our man T.Y., Tyrone, our producer, had the money line bet on Fairly Dickinson, and that paid handsomely, fairly profitable. Nice pick by you. And you said it was a couple margaritas in at the Matzel Rancho.
Oh, yeah.
It just struck you.
It's fairly lucky is what it was. Very
well,
lucky.
How about this fella? This has been confirmed by Vegas that someone placed $33,000 on FDU. How about
some cojones right there.
And that was with the line, but it didn't matter at that point. But who would have the money? $33,000 on Fairly Dickinson?
Yeah, that's just a dude. That's not like a really wealthy dude. That's just
the
dude
this?
Like us that threw $33,000 instead of like $50,000 or $100,000.
Well,
he won
$495,000 on the bet.
Wow.
Has been confirmed.
He felt like he could do $33,000, but he couldn't do $40,000 or $50,000.
I aspire to one day roll up to a casino in Vegas and be able to do that.
Listen, if you...
my dream.
You couldn't... That team was like ranked 356 or something. I mean, they had to win their conference tournament and then
they got in off a technicality. They didn't even win their conference.
That's right.
They lost to Merrimack.
They truly were the last team in.
Yeah, the technicality was what that they got in.
Merrimack, so they had
changing divisions.
The 3 year going from D2 to D1.
Yeah, they shouldn't even have been in the tournament.
No.
Exactly.
Then they had to win the play-in game.
They truly were the last in.
I mean, I don't want to say Matt Painter should be fired, but come on, man, you can't lose to Fairly Dickinson as the one
seed. St. Peter's last year and North Texas the year before that.
And look, two years ago from that, too.
That is not a tournament coach right there. Tom Izzo?
Yes.
Tournament coach. Rodney Terry? Tournament coach, baby.
Shaka Smart?
Shaka.
Not so much.
Marquette? Not so much. All right, real quick before we get to Ty and what's hot or not, or Ty, we can make this year hot or not, is Charles Barkley. Was how about this? You know, that's what's great about Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith and Ernie Johnson when they're just doing NBA games, but now they do the March Madness, and they'll just get into a conversation. It'll go off the rails. Well, listen to this. This is Charles Barkley and then Kenny the Jet calling him out for what he thinks is a made-up story. This is pretty good. I got to ask you the question after this, though.
I mean, it's so much stuff that goes into this. And shout out to all the trainers also to have and the guys who do all the uniforms, to get these uniforms cleaned up and everything. Cause, I mean, I'm so old. We used to take a shower in our uniforms because, you know, because we flew commercial my first few
Wait,
years.
Wait, time out. There's no era where you did.
Yes, it is.
Stop, you're making this up.
No, I'm not.
There's no way that you were supposed to wash your uniform with it on.
When I first,
you're making this up.
I'm not making this up.
Let him finish.
No one in the right mind has ever done that.
Let him finish, Kenny. Please do.
And soap. They give you soap.
Let him finish, Kenny.
When I first got to the NBA, we flew commercial.
Yes,
I'm not disagreeing with you.
So when you played the night before and flew the next morning, when was you exactly going to get your uniform clean? You had to wash your uniform yourself. So after the game, when you got to your room, you took a shower in your uniform and dried and dropped on the commercial airline the next morning.
Were you with Jed Clampett?
No. That's why you had to let him finish.
Come on. Have you ever heard of this in your life, Clark?
Well, how are y'all cleaning y'all uniform? Y'all playing in fucking uniforms?
No, somebody.
Washing the dryer or someone else.
When you're flying the next morning.
You can clean your uniform without showering in it. That is possible. After, you can actually clean it without showering in it.
In it. You don't have to have it on.
But it's easier to do it that way.
All right, there you go.
What a hillbilly.
That is, I give Kenny the jet credit. That never happened. Mm-hmm. If it did, he was not told to do that. He just thought that might be
the easiest way to do it.
His face when he said that is the best part of the video. For
Kenny
sure.
The jet?
Yeah.
Just... Like, what? Like, what era are you talking about? I played in the same era you did. And he's talking about in the NBA. He's not talking about, like, it. Jet Clampett High School in Alabama or something.
No, dude. Now you take your uniform off, put it in a sink, and put some soap in it, and hang it up, and it's ready to go the next day. But you didn't wear your into the shower. What's Barkley talking about?
Well, I have heard of...
I'm not saying he wouldn't do it. I'm not saying he didn't do it. But you don't have to do it. Act like that's the way. That's the way most of us
do
it.
Let me ask you this. Did you ever do it?
No.
No. Ty?
Shower with my jersey on?
Yeah.
No. Maybe in middle school. I don't know. Like,
I don't even... No.
Well, middle school, some kids will be afraid to go naked, so they'll wear their underwear into the shower. I've heard of that. But, Charles, come on, man. Come on, man. Step it up. Not buying that. Because he had to put it on the airplane the next day?
Come on, man.
You hanging it out with the laundry with some...
And mildew.
Oh, come on, man. That's good stuff. Those guys are classic. But Longhorns on to the Sweet 16. We'll reset it. How about the night for Dylan to sue? And did you hear all the lifetime Longhorns, the great players of all time, coming to support the Horns? We'll let you run through some of those. Also, Vic Schaefer, the Texas women's coach with a big game tonight. He had an interesting thought on Rodney Terry and the job he's doing with the Longhorns right now. We'll let you hear that coming up. It's a busy, busy Monday. Good, bad, and ugly here on B&E.